My mother and father named me Aaron, but my father said they should have named me What Have You Done, and my uncle told everyone they should have called me What Were You Thinking. I broke medicine bottles by crashing them together and let the neighbor's animals loose from pens. My mother said my father shouldn't beat such a small boy, but my father said that one misfortune was never enough for me, and my uncle told her that my kind of craziness was like stealing from the rest of the family. When I complained about it, my mother reminded me I had only myself to blame, and that in our family, the cure for a toothache was to slap the other side of your face. My older brother was always saying, we all went without cradles for our backsides or pillows for our heads. Why didn't he complain some more? My mother suggested. Maybe she could light the stove with his complaints. My uncle was my mother's brother, and he was the one who started calling me Shmaya because I did so many things that made him put his finger to his nose as a warning and say, God has heard. We shared a house with another family in Panevėžys near the Lithuanian border. We lived in the front room with a four-paned window and a big stove with a tin sheet on top. Our father was always off looking for money. For a while, he sold animal hides. Our mother wished he would do something else, but he always said the Pope and the peasant each had their own work. She washed other people's floors, and when she left for the day, our neighbors did whatever they wanted to us. They stole our food and threw our things into the street. Then she came home exhausted and had to fight with them about how they'd treated us, while I hid behind the rubbish pile in the courtyard. When my older brothers got home, they'd be part of the shouting too. Where's Shmaya? They'd ask when it was over. I'd still be behind the rubbish pile. When the wind was strong, grit got in my eyes. Shmaya only looks out for himself, my uncle always said. But I never wanted to be like that. I lectured myself on walks. I made lists of ways I could improve. Years went by like one unhappy day. My mother tried to teach me the alphabet, unsuccessfully. She used a big paper chart attached to a board and pointed to a bird or a little man or a purse, and then to the letter that went with them. A whole day was spent trying to get me to draw the semicircle and straight line of the letter Aleph. But I was like something that had been raised in the wild. I didn't know the names of objects. Teachers talked to me and I stared back. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid, Hey, Vav, Zion. My last cheder results before we moved reported my conduct was unsatisfactory, my religion unsatisfactory, my arithmetic unsatisfactory, and even my wood and metal shop work unsatisfactory. My father called it the most miserable report he'd ever seen, and invited us all to figure out how I had pulled it off. My mother said that I might have been getting better in some areas, and he told her that if God gave me a second or a third life, I'd still understand nothing. He said a person with strong character could correct his path and start again, but a coward or weakling could not. I always wondered if others had such difficulty in learning. I always worried what would become of me if I couldn't do anything at all. It was terrible to have to be the person I was. I spent rainy days building dams in the street to divert the runoff. I found boards and pushed them along puddles with sticks. My mother dragged me out of the storms, saying when she found me that there I sat with my dreams full of fish and pancakes. She said, while she bundled me into bed next to the stove, that I'd never avoided an illness, from chickenpox to measles and scarlet fever to whooping cough, and that was why I'd spent my whole life 99% dead. At night, I lay waiting for sleep like our neighbor's dog waited for passing wagons. When she heard me still awake, my mother would come to my bedside, even as tired as she was. To help me sleep, she said that if I squeezed my eyelids tight, lights and planets would float down past them, though I'd never be able to count them before they disappeared. She said that her grandfather told her that God moved those lights and planets with his little finger. I told her I was sorry for the way I was, and she said that she wasn't worried about school, only about how I was with my family and our neighbors. She said that too often my tongue worked, but not my head, or my head worked, but not my heart.